Good morning and welcome to the Vines Church. Good morning, everyone. How are we? Had a good week? If you haven't, this is the place to be. If you have, this is the place to be. We're here this morning to worship the Lord our God, who is all our strength, all our guidance, and all our grace. So let's stand, let's lift his name on high and declare what we believe.
Holy, holy,
Lord Heavenly Father, we come here this morning because you sent your Son to take on all that muck and all that sin, the things that we do wrong, upon his back and to die for us. Lord, you are a God who walks with us daily. You are a God who walks with us into the future daily. Lord, we're not worthy of this grace and this love. We know that. Once again, we have had one of those weeks where we've fallen short of our own expectations and yours. Lord, we apologize. We confess those moments where we haven't done what should have been done, where we have moved forward too quickly without thought, spoken those sharp words without taking a breath, where we've fallen into habits that we know are not good for us. Missed opportunities. Lord, once again we come before you and we accept that forgiveness which you offer to your children. Over and over, Lord, you just love us. What can we say? Lord, just that we love you and ask that you accept our praise and worship this morning.
Everyone. Right now we're just going to have a little video as we bring our dedication of our boxes this morning. So we're just going to watch a little video first.
bring those Operation Christmas-style boxes into this community. It becomes such a blessing for the little kids. Having these boxes and loving all the things inside, these boxes speak more than the words. We show them that we love them. We want to fill that gap, to show them that God loves them, but we have to stand together and work together because we are human beings.
Judy and Sandra and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the many people who've contributed to this worthwhile ministry. Contributions of time, thought, money, presence, ideas and prayer. We're so pleased that this congregation has filled 72 Christmas boxes. Great, isn't it? Fantastic. This is especially fantastic after being unable to contribute last year because of the COVID restrictions. We don't know where Samaritan's Purse will send the boxes this year, but in the past they've gone to countries such as Cambodia, Malawi, Fiji and the Solomon Islands, and I think we could see Papua New Guinea up there too. What a worthwhile ministry. To see the faces of the happy recipients, many who've never received a gift before, what a wonderful, practical way to spread God's love, to reach out and to witness for him. And so we dedicate these boxes in his precious name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, creator of all things, we thank you that you give to us and you give to us in abundance, that we're able to share in Jesus' name. We ask that your hand be upon the Operation Christmas Child Ministry. Be with these boxes as they travel to other countries and arrive at their destination. May the opportunity to witness for you, spreading God's love and blessing each child, be there in the giving. Lord, we thank you that so many in this congregation and beyond have given so freely. For some, it's meant having time to shop with grandkids or family members and to consider others and the reasons for giving. For others, it's meant community time packing together individually or donating money for the postage. Bless these boxes, Lord, as they go. May children have fun in the receiving. May they know that Jesus loves them, and we want to share that powerful, wonderful love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, that's a wonderful effort. Let's another round of applause. Good job. Sam, this is going to be a super short children's talk today, but come down the front. One of the themes we're talking today about is, behold, God is doing a new thing. Now, can you remember how, like, so God is doing a new thing. What does God doing a new thing look like? Does that mean I wake up one day and I've got some nice God pajamas on and some God shoes, you know, God's doing some new fashion lines, God's doing some new hairstyles, God... What is God doing new things of? Well, let's just come up here for a sec. Let's just come up here. So, what? Jump up here. Let's have a look. So, this is, how many boxes were here again? 71 or 72? A lot. So, yeah, look, there's lots here. So, you know what's really exciting about this is, at Christmas time, kids who are really... have got nothing, not much, not many things, will receive one of these boxes. And this is for a girl. And inside, they've got lots of different things. And inside, there's beautiful socks, there's sunglasses, there's Facebook. That would be a bit of a, they'd need internet, wouldn't it? But there's just beautiful stuff. And there's even stuff like a beautiful law. So, one of the comments that was made on that video is, how do we know God loves us? How do we know God's doing a new thing? We see that through what we do for others. And this is just a beautiful example. How is God doing a new thing in people's lives? Through these boxes. So, thanks, Sam, for helping me. It's a bit quicker today, but you're going to give me a hand. We're going to do a special shake today. So stand up. We're going to do a special handshake. I'll come around this side. Ready? Stand up. up we jump. Now, can you remember we did this handshake before? Oh, I guess it's COVID, isn't it? We can't really do handshake. Hey, look, why don't you turn the person around you and be creative and shake hands or wave or do an elbow or just whatever. So.
I was expecting, while waiting for the girl that sits on the, overlooking the beach.
Hey, look, a few notices while I've got your attention. This morning, coffee and tea is back.
Yay.
Woohoo! And very good. And for those who haven't seen for a while and you're back, greetings to you too, so it's exciting. So inside we sit down, outside we can stand up, so with your coffee and tea. So that's really good. Next week, Reverend Ian Kiddo is going to be preaching, leading our Holy Communion. And the week after, Trev is going to be doing it. Because the next couple of Sundays I'm off, I'm going to take 2 weeks holiday. And so that'll be very nice. And while I'm away, if there's any dramas, let your small group leaders or your coordinators know. Or default could be Colleen or Judy. And if it's an urgent stuff, I'll find out about it. So all good. So again, it's like holidays are great. And I've really worked hard to try and remain awake and focused this week. Holidays are coming. They're great things, aren't they? Put your hands up if you've got some holidays coming you're looking forward to. Yes. Nice. Put your hand up if your life is just one big holiday. No, even better. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, okay, so enough from me. I don't think there's any other notices. Is the door still open? Yes, that's good. All right, thank you.
Sometimes it's just one of those mornings. But it is good to be here. Let's prepare ourselves for prayers of intercession. You can stay seated if you wish.
Such a beautiful song, isn't it? Really sets the scene to come before God in prayer. Before I pray, I'd like to share with you a quote that I found this week, which I thought was quite interesting to reflect upon. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher of long ago, wrote these words: "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. If you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear you. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe he will hear you. But if you believe, he will. He will be as good as your faith." Let's share in prayer. God of grace and beauty, we come to prayer this morning with much on our hearts. We are so grateful that no matter how disturbed we might feel, you are as near as the air we breathe and are ever ready to comfort and calm. So we come in confidence with our prayers of intercession, so grateful that we can offer those cares, concerns, and fears to you, strong in the knowledge that you will ease our anxieties and show us the way forward. Our world seems to be in such a mess. This virulent pandemic is still killing so many people and causing great inconvenience for many others. It is the thing that is on our minds constantly as we live with restrictions and masks. We pray for those who continue to fight it on the front line and do the best they can to find the way through this very stressful time. It has been going on for so long, and people are weighed down by it. We pray that more people will take action to reduce its effect, to accept that vaccines will save lives, theirs and those they love, and indeed, many who touch their lives. Touch their hearts, Lord, we pray, that they might be sensible so that connections can be restored and families reconnected. Father, we pray for sanity to prevail as the riots and protests across our country continue. They do not achieve much except more anger, violence, and resentment, people being hurt, and destruction of the moral code of community. Lord, you call us to respect and value other human beings, and we are sadly falling far short in these troubled times. We are deeply concerned about the political unrest across many countries at this present time. We pray that wisdom and grace might be poured out in full measure so that harmonious conversations, which have the good of the people at heart, might occur. We continue to pray for the plight of people in Afghanistan, especially women and girls as they seek to live in a prohibitive society where they're not valued or even recognised as having a place. We pray for those finding sanctuary in our country. May we reach out in love whenever the opportunity arises. Father God, we do not really know how to pray in these situations, but we do know that you have it all in your hands and you will continue to speak into hearts and bring good to fruition in due time. In our own country, the political situation is very challenging. Where have honour and respect and collaboration gone? As self-interest and even greed seem to set the agenda, accountability seems to be an unpopular concept. We pray for all those who have the honour of representing people like us, as we ask that they might listen to the cries of their constituents and seek to make lives better for so many who are struggling with all sorts of serious issues. We thank you that some do this so well, always advocating for the poor and disenfranchised. And we pray that they will be strengthened by your Spirit, even if they do not recognise where that strength comes from. But there are others who do not seem to care very much at all. Please change their hearts, that compassion might motivate them. And right now, Lord, we pray for our church. We pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear the needs of our community. Please give us the courage to reach out with a vision of compassion, care, and healing to the community around us. Help us to be true bearers of the gospel of love and grace to those so desperately in need. May we look deep into our hearts and discern what you would have us be and do in this place for the good of those who are not yet part of us. And now, our loving God, we come to you with prayer for our families. For in our families and among our friends, there are deep needs, health issues which are so challenging and debilitating, hearts that cry out in longing because of broken relationships, struggles with life and its vagaries, so much that drags us down and affects our mental well-being. Thank you that you know and understand us better than we know ourselves, and that you meet us where we are and empower us to move through the dark times. We thank you that as we name them before you in silence, you will give them the peace that will allow them to carry on. There seems to be so much need, Lord. Please help us to live positively in the strength of your love, as we hear these words from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. In Jesus' very precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 14 to 21. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
There's some wonderful words in that reading. I am the Lord, your holy God, he declares. I give drink to my people, my chosen people, that they may proclaim my praise. It's a wonderful reading of strength and power that he has within our lives. This will be an offering hymn, so I'll ask whoever is to bring it up to do so in the third verse. But this is not a hymn we can sing sitting down. So I invite you to stand and let's celebrate the power and strength of this God and what he can do. Let's stand. as the offering basket comes forward, I encourage you to, as you're standing, offer yourselves, offer your gifts, your time, the things which God wishes you to use in his world. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we have been so blessed. On top of all the other blessings, we live in one of the safest places in one of the safest countries in the world. We have a government that is stable. We do not see firearms in the streets. We do not wonder how we are going to find food for the next day. You have given us so much. Lord, prod us, challenge us, stir us, that we may give back to you those things which we often take for granted. Take what we offer, our gifts, our offering, our persons and our time, that your kingdom may be furthered in this place, in the community and across the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we continue to open our lives to the new thing you might do in our lives, we ask that we might see that, might hear that, might live that. In Jesus' name, amen. So how are you all doing today? Hands up if you've had a really wonderful week and you're looking for another wonderful week next week. Hands up if your week's been a little bit average. Put your hands up if you really don't want to put your hand up. Okay, all right. So, look, one of the things we were talking about last week is, you know, in life, lots of us have an expectation of life as being just a straight line. And we knew that if we went to the movies or read a book and the plot was just got up in the morning, had breakfast, went to work, had lunch, came home from work, had dinner, went to bed and did it again, that would be a mega fail. Who would want to watch that sort of movie? What we discovered was actually our lives look like this in reality. And that I'm not sure where you would actually put yourself on that scale right now. And the same for the church. You know, like if we look back over the 100 and whatever years it is, the Vines has been kicking along, either as Happy Valley or the Vines, there'd be lots of ups and downs. And so that's life, isn't it? And one of the things we were talking about with vision and mission and that sort of stuff, our relationship and connection with God gives us that emerging vision. So this is where vision comes from. It's not like a great idea I have or you have, but in the church what we're trying to do is mesh our faith with our vision. So it's really connected, not some random words that someone makes up. And I really like that. And I think that's very true, isn't it? That our lives contain lots of hard stuff. And life is hard. And we know that. And I think that's one of the hardest things that people get round to accepting. Life's not fair either. We like to say, it's not fair. And I say, yes, you're right. Because it's true. Life is not fair. And we might like to have the idea that everything should be equitable and it just doesn't happen that way. So what do we do with it? How do we connect with it? How do we live that out? So one of the advantages of this congregation is we're a congregation that has lots of wisdom. This is not new to you, is it? You know this stuff. You've been around long enough to say, well, actually, David, yeah, I can give you lots of examples of life and stuff and everything else. Now, when we're thinking of life and stuff and everything else, on the front cover of the Grapevine today, I gave you a quote from Kenan Callahan. And he talked about the nature of congregations and what churches are like. And one of the things that particularly strikes me about this church is that we are a small, strong congregation. We've been a bit hamstrung with COVID, with not being able to get everybody in, which is a bit of a pain. But thank goodness we've got some stuff online, so those online, you're a part of that too. So that's wonderful. I want you to just read through this quote again. Small, strong congregations are gift-driven, not getting-driven. They are strength-driven, not weakness-driven. They are spirit-driven, not size-driven. Small, strong congregations are high compassion congregations. They're mission-driven congregations. They do not ask, what's in it for us? They're not interested in church growth. They're interested in people growth. All right. Turn to the person next year. What did you like about that? What did you not like? Is there any word that leaps out at you? What strikes you about that? Is that a summary of who we are? I've just asked you 5 questions, so good luck. Answer one of them. Turn to the person next year. Do something. Talk about this. What did you think? Do you like it? Do you agree? If you're at home, what do you think? Is that something you connect with? It's a really interesting quote, isn't it? Like, if we're trying to talk about realistic expectations about who we are and how we do business, you know, that's part of what we're trying to be. What is the truth? Truth is, yeah, actually, we're a small, strong congregation. We're older, but that's okay. We have lots of life experience that we bring with that. And so when we look through some of these lines, they are gift-given, not getting-driven. Gift-driven, not getting-driven. So really talking about the internal motivation of what drives us. And I think particularly different generations have different ways of serving the community. And I think the fact that that's not about us, it's not about me, is part of a key point, isn't it? In other words, they are strength-driven, not weakness-driven. What I like about this is we're not victims. I don't sense that the Vines is saying we are victims. Poor us. There's bigger churches around. Poor us. La, la. I don't hear that, which is really, I think, an important part because life is hard enough without focusing on that. There are some strengths we have. What can we do, not what can't we do? And the idea of being spirit-driven, not size-driven. You know, like faith, hope, and love. The amount of people I know who continue to give despite a lot of challenges in their own life is sensational. And I think, for me, it sort of strikes. Now, while we want to continue to be healthy and grow, and so while we might talk about size not being the thing that drives us, I think we still want to be healthy and lively and connect. So that's an important part. One of the things I like is the idea of compassion, as a compassionate congregation. Do you think that summarizes who you are, who we are? Compassionate? It's interesting, one of the key values and behavior traits in the army is compassion. It's a fascinating thing, because if you do not have compassion, then your capacity to relate to others and have an understanding becomes void. How can we relate to others if we've got no compassion? Mission-driven congregations. The other line I like, it's they do not ask what's in it for us. I don't know, was there another line that stood out for you? Because I think in the end it's a bit like that. We are here. It's service, not serve us. Service, we are serving the community, they're not serving us. So it's that important understanding of why we exist. Our existence is to serve others. They're not interested in church growth, they're interested in people growth. So I guess, in other words, we're not trying to build a kingdom. This is not kingdom building. This is about connecting and growing people's lives. So I suppose the other part of that is it's really, in the end, there's so many things we can't control. And so in the end, it's faith is generated through our relationships with each other. And that's the vital part of it, isn't it? So today we're talking about God doing a new thing through us. And the Isaiah reading is really a powerful one. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. And some of the other translations have, behold, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I love that reading. It's really a powerful reading. And when we were talking about vision last week, we were talking about it's no good having the vision to build a new church at Woodcroft in 2021. That was a past vision. The vision of today is something different. What is that vision? We continue to explore what it is, that God is wanting to do something in and through us. And it would be really interesting to know what sort of impact these boxes have in kids' lives and the way in which that brings maybe new hope or a connectedness for them. And granted, it's a small thing, but maybe it's a gift that for many will take them beyond what they ever expected. So for me, one of the hopes I have is that God has not finished with me as an individual or us collectively as a church. That God is trying to do something in our lives and in this community. The question is, do we have our vision glasses? Do we see it? Are we able to connect what those opportunities are? And that's where it's really great with each one of you, because there might be ways in which you can connect in community that actually might be an opportunity. We never quite know how God's stirring stuff, and that's why, as the body of Christ, there might be some connections or relationships that we suddenly are able to build on. And today we're trying to talk about where we're going for this, the rest of this year and beyond into 2022. And like I like to think is, it's as we've been talking about it, growing as we go. We're trying to develop this stuff as we go. And one of the things I like about what God does is God is looking forward. God is not looking backwards. So God is not trying to make us feel guilty about what we haven't done. It's not coulda, woulda, shoulda. I mean, one of the things about Isaiah was that his life was transformed as he encountered God. And he put his hand up when God said, "Who am I going to send?" He said, "Send me. My life's been changed. Send me." And there's a sense in which we're trying to step out, even if our faith is this big. We're trying to step out and respond in gratitude for the change God's made in our lives. That hope of restoration. In the Bible, behold, the word behold has been used 1,298 times. And I didn't actually count them personally. I took that on authority from someone else. But the idea that God is doing something new, a pathway into the wilderness, gives me hope. Not only for my life personally, but us collectively as a community. And again, it's like, it's very easy to get caught up in the coulda, woulda, shouldas. That's, the next slide really picks up some of the, I reckon it's the one after that one. The coulda, woulda, shoulda, or the shoulda, woulda, coulda, depending on which way you run that. Now, whenever I hear people say, "You should have," you know there's a great trailer of guilt coming down the road, you know. It's like, if you ever hear yourself say, "Oh, I should have," that means that guilt is not far behind. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's one of those words that just grind you into the dirt. And what I love about God is God doesn't get the coulda, woulda, shoulda applying to our lives. God's not interested in that. God says, "Come to me," as we've done today. Our prayers are confession. Our songs invite us to just come and be refreshed, renewed, made whole. Let the rubbish go. And as a community, that's really what we're trying to do as we engage in. So one of the challenges I'm going to ask the desk to do is to throw us back to the previous slide. And one of the things that the invitation we have, and when we explore vision and what it means, is that vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. So we're really trying to say, okay, at the Vines, we've got different ideas, we've got a vision, we want to make a difference. You know, our vision is to be a vibrant, growing community of faith. That's a great vision. I love it. How does that get applied? What is the outworking of that? What does that look like? And the Leaders Council have been exploring this for a while, and I know many of you have been exploring this. How does this work? So our mission is to reach out and reflect God's love, connecting others to Christ. But how are we going to do that? And one of the words that I think is a key word is hospitality. Now, in this church, there's been lots of hospitality over the decades, over the centuries. And one of the practical ways, we've generated some extra income this year with me working at PAC 0.4, so you've only been paying 0.6, so that's 3 days a week. So we've actually generated 2 days a week of income. So that gives us a bit of a budget line to do some stuff that people have been wanting to do for decades. And one of the things that is a practical way of generating and developing hospitality is to do something different with the kitchen, like an industrial dishwasher. Put your hands up if you think an industrial dishwasher is a practical way of actually doing something. That would suggest all you people have served in the kitchen at some stage over the last 20 years. So the idea is that rather having, it just gives us some capacity to get back to using normal glasses, cups for craft. It gives us the capacity to generate some other ways in which we can connect with and do stuff in meals and use this multi-function center in ways that help generate connections. Now, have we got 50 different groups coming in the next month? No. But we're working at trying to build connections and try and expand how we connect. And that's just one practical way of doing something. We're wanting to look at some programs to expand stuff, to network. Well, how do we use the Thursday craft? Are there ways we can develop programs running off of that? Are there other ways we can do stuff? Do we need to employ someone in a part-time position to do some community outreach stuff? That's the sort of stuff we're trying to develop as we go. Is it a full picture? No. Are we trying to build and grow as we go? Yes. So that's where you're important, because you might have some ideas. You might have some skills. You might have developed something over the last year in COVID that you're itching just to sort of express. You know, ukulele ministry. I don't know. I'm not sure where that came from, but it was a Holy Spirit led in. So maybe someone's watching online. I don't know. But it's the idea that somehow, rather than just do nothing, we're wanting to actually do some specific stuff. So, you know, people talk about, you know, a vision that is captivating and overwhelmingly sensational. I think this is start small. We want to just try and build and grow. So, again, it's given the opportunity for you to participate as well. Now, I thought if you were thinking, well, David, come on, mate, what are you doing? Surely there must be something more sensational and significant. Well, I thought I would find someone who you, most of you would appreciate and respect as having a lot of years of leadership. And this next person I'm going to show on the slide, you will appreciate as someone who can support this approach of small steps. So the Queen would say in her 2019, this is what she said. As we look forward to the start of a new decade, it's worth remembering that it's often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. And she went on to say, during 2019, Philip was involved in a dramatic car accident. Harry and Meghan spoke about their struggles. Prince Andrew gave a disastrous television interview. And I guess if she, we're looking forward to her 2021 message, aren't we? Because there's a whole lot of more dramas she has been dealing with. But she finishes by saying this: the path, of course, is not always smooth. And many times the year has been quite unpredictable. Bit bumpy, but small steps can make the world of difference. So rather than do nothing, rather than wait till we get this massive, wonderful vision, we're just going to start doing something. Do something. So our steps are small, but it's not the end of the story. We're wanting to build on this stuff. So I hope that you feel that in the coming months and years, you can still contribute some ideas. It's, you know, I'm not the font of all knowledge, as are the leadership committee. They're not the font of all knowledge either. God is doing new stuff, and it might be through your connections or relationships or your group outside the church that there's an opportunity that emerges that we can support. That's what it's about. It's building relationship in some practical, action-orientated ways. So, I did think of saying that, well, as I'm finishing off now, there's lots of different ideas running through my head with the Queen as the background, but I think I'll leave that and save myself getting into trouble. But as we look forward to 2022, the start of a new year, it's remembering that often those small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. So I invite you to just pause for a moment and consider how do you connect with what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about, what you've been listening to? Are there songs or words from the prayers that have caught your connection? What is one thing you're taking away from today? So just pause for a moment. What is it that God is wanting you to take away? A small thing, maybe. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you go with us wherever we go, regardless if we feel our faith is massive or very small. You love us, and you continue to want to do new things in our lives and through us. We pray that as a community, we continue to open to your Spirit's leading. In Jesus' name, amen.
Small steps, but maybe small steps with a lightness to them, with purpose, with gusto. Let the flame burn brighter as we move forward with God. Let's stand and conclude our service.
We'll walk the land with hearts on fire, and every step will be a prayer. Hope is rising, new day dawning, sound of singing fills the air. 2,000 years and still the flame is burning bright.
So go out in the community and sparkle, people, and add your bit of shine and glimmer
to the world in which you live. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.